Shout out to Pluralsight, friends of ours and of yours. Leading technology teams around the world trust Pluralsight to bring skill, development, and engineering insights to the forefront of the developer experience, increasing productivity, efficiency, satisfaction, and retention.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Trust me, get on. And welcome to the best hour or so in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. Mark Garagus in New York City, downtown office. Where is you?
Downtown LA. I tried mightily to get to you, especially because I knew you were there. And I apologize. I just couldn't make it happen.
Well, you're a busy man. What's going on in the world?
I was just going to say, we started just a couple of minutes late because I've stolen one of your lines. You had mentioned last time I saw you, which was last week, about sending in a drone strike. And for those who don't understand the way your brain thinks, I understood exactly. And so not anything having to do with anything you know about, but I had to delay today because I was sending in a drone strike.
Well,
sometimes that's all anybody understands, you know?
Well, you know, I always say drone strike because when you're dealing with disputes and sometimes you're dealing with a client or a neighbor, or whomever, and if both of you have an idea for a reasonable outcome, then you can probably find a path there. But the problem comes in when you're dealing with terrorists. And so you make a mistake. You go, these people love their children. These people just want to live in harmony. Why wouldn't anyone want to just flourish and get along with their neighbors and live in harmony and raise their children? The answer is there's a certain amount of human beings that are terrorists who do not want to do that. And there's a certain amount of Americans who you will get into legal disputes with who don't want that either. And you're confused by it. But
it's the reason I love you so much. It is almost inexplicable some of the disputes that you get into in the law that are so idiotic, that are such nonsense that you wonder what somebody is thinking, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and so basically you get burned when you go, who would fly an airplane into one of the Twin Towers? You're in the airplane. You're the first person to hit the tower if you're in the cockpit of that airplane. And the answer is true, and there are people who approach life that way. And that's how they do it. And most of my adult life is trying to figure out why certain people did certain things that were so harmful to them. And the answer is they're terrorists. That's it. They're going to put on an explosive vest. They're going to go into the Tel Aviv pizza joint, and they're going to be the first person that gets the ball bearing into their chest when that thing's ignited. I'm amazed. But there's a kind of a version of this, Mark, a slightly more subdued, less sexy version of this, which is, I'll give you an example that's something that would never make sense to you, but I will tell you the stock that I come from. My father, when I became successful, and he was never has been successful financially. When I became successful, I thought, you know what? I should lease that guy a luxury car because that's what a successful Hollywood son would do. This is probably about the year 99, 2000, after I started to make some money in show business and was established to some degree. So
Circa radio.
Yeah, the Love Line and maybe MTV Love Line and maybe the Man Show was starting. There was discussions and that's where we're at. So we went down to the Infinity dealer in Van Nuys, and he got himself the big flagship Q45 or whatever it was, luxury vehicle. And he had that car for, he leased it for probably 3 years. And then the next year, I mean, 3 years on, we turned that car in. And then I went over to Galpin Ford and I got him a Jaguar for his next car. Wow. And then
did he consider that an upgrade or was it a lateral move?
It was sort of lateral, but I think English versus Japanese, you know, always a little bit of an upgrade, the luxury department. And then the Jag was coming to the end of its lease. And so my dad started to lobby for the third least luxury automobile. Now, mind you, he didn't put me through dental school, and I didn't see him up in the stands cheering me on when I was playing Pop Warner high school football. But out of the goodness of my own heart, I thought, let's get this poor guy. You know, no one needs to be 68 years old and driving around a Geo Metro. You know what I mean? It's an old guy in a shit car is probably the saddest tableau there is, if you really think about it.
Yeah, well, especially, by the way, there is a world in which that reflects on you.
Yes. So he was then campaigning for a third luxury automobile. So he came over to the house and I looked out the window and I saw the very used 1980s front wheel drive cloth interior Honda CRV that my stepmother owned was parked, and he drove the Honda CRV out from Pasadena to the Hollywood Hills home of one Adam Carolla. And he walked in and I said, he wanted a new car. He wanted to start talking. He was going to have to turn his car in a few weeks, and he wanted to start discussing preliminary discussions on the next luxury automobile, the third one. And I said,
wait, how did those discussions go? Was it, this is what I want, or son, I'm appreciative? What was the kind of the tone?
It was like, you know, it was pretty nuts and bolts, pardon the pun. It's like, you know, I got to turn the car in 3 weeks, and, you know, I don't want to walk home from the dealership. So what are you thinking, you know? And I said, well, first things first, why didn't you drive the car to my house today? You drove a piece of shit old Honda CRV from the 80s. And he said, you know, it was parked on the end of the driveway, whatever. I said, Dad, that Jag I lease you, I'm paying for 12,000 miles a year. You've got significantly less than that on the odometer. Meaning I'm paying for 36,000 at the end of this lease. You've got that thing at like 21,000 miles on it. You should be driving that car. And he said, yeah, okay, but let's talk about the new car. And I said, all right, well, you know, let me think about it. But once you start driving the car, I'm leasing you. And by the way, you're driving the car you guys own. You're just putting miles on that car. And you own that car. My car, I paid for the mileage, and you're not driving it. And
you've got quite the Armo brain at work at that
you.
Point.
So he the next time I saw him, I don't know if we're getting some static. What is that?
It comes through on Zoom sometimes. It's just about the connection.
Oh, okay. I will soldier on. 2 weeks later, the next week, he came over again. I look out the window. He's driving the Honda CRV again. I said, Dad, you got a Jag. I pay for the lease. It's well under the mileage. They don't reimburse you the money. I got to turn the thing in a week. You want a new car. You're driving this piece of shit Honda. Why aren't you driving the luxury car that I'm leasing you? And now he gets a little defensive. He goes, oh, I didn't know I had to drive it. I said, you don't have to drive it. Oh, well, what should I do? Go home and just drive it around the block a few times just so? I said, no, Dad, it's a luxury car. I lease it for you. You want your next luxury car. I don't get why you're not driving the under mileage car that I already lease you. And he said, I didn't know that was part of the deal. I said, Dad, if you leased someone a luxury car and they came over to your house and they weren't driving the car, but instead driving the cloth interior piece of shit Honda CRV, of the old lady, wouldn't you have thoughts about it? And he said, absolutely not. I said, no thoughts. Zero thoughts. I said, no. So you wouldn't care that you're spending thousands of dollars on this guy's car, and when he drove it, he's driving his wife's piece of shit over to your house. I said, no. And then he gets a little testy. So what am I supposed to do? Like, just go drive it up and down the driveway to try to put miles on? I said, hey, Dad, guess who's not getting a third luxury car? It's you. And he's like, fine. I was like, okay, fine. Just save me $950 a month. And he's like, okay. And he just had to go out and get himself another piece of shit. Now, that's not a business-oriented mind there. But on the other hand, I'm not saying he's full Al-Qaeda, but think of the mindset. All you have to do is drive your fucking luxury car to your son's huge house in Hollywood Hills. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. You won't do it. You become combative when I ask you about it. This is all under the backdrop of volleying to get a new luxury car. This is your art. You're simultaneously arguing for a new car and simultaneously doing everything that would make someone not want to lease you a new car, which I didn't, and I never leave. He's still on this planet. That was 17 years ago, and he's never gotten another car.
So we would call that a Jermach. A Jermach, which is literally white. That is what, that's the, our Armos would think the default to that would be, that's what a Jermach would do.
No Armo would ever do that. Never.
In a million years, are you kidding? The Armo would not only get the car, the luxury car, they then take it in and have it tricked out and send you the bill.
All right. Well, let me tell you about our friends over at Pluralsight. Hey, if you lead or manage a software team, you need to know setting up your team for success. Well, it isn't easy. Employee turnover, the speed of innovation, timeline delays, and security concerns are constantly clouding our vision. Leading technology teams around the world trust Pluralsight to bring skill, development, and engineering insights to the forefront of the developer experience, increasing productivity, efficiency, satisfaction, and retention. It's the clarity teams need to tackle mission-critical projects, drive cloud transformation, or simply ship scalable and secure code. Harness the collective power of hindsight, foresight, and insight with Pluralsight. Check them out today at pluralsight.com/vision. All right. So clearly I'm not from the Armenian heritage, but I always, what I'm saying is this, and just to go back to the court, what I'm saying is this is a very small example of someone who wanted something, but ended up and would have gotten it, but had to shoot themselves in the foot and take some sort of bizarre stance over nothing, which now means they must pay for their own car in perpetuity. And there's a lot of that in business.
A heck of a lot.
A lot of it. Way more than you'd think, right?
Oh, I mean, it happens on a daily basis. It's frustrating. But, my father used to say, why do you get so angry about that? And I said, because it's so frustrating. He says, yeah, but if they understood that, then they wouldn't need you. Or they wouldn't need your advice. So I guess, there's a point to that.
All right, so where are we at with the news and trials and courts?
We've got so many stories to start with. One of the ones I like, and Gary, as you know, is an Elon fanboy. And now, as of yesterday, Twitter filed a lawsuit against Musk's two holding companies in Delaware, in what's called the Chancery Court, where you don't get a jury. It's a judge proceeding. And basically, Gary, I think I snapshotted the prayer. The prayer on a civil lawsuit is basically what you're asking for. So this is what they're asking for. They, to the extent under the merger agreement, grant all the relief. Order defendants, that's Elon's two companies or entities, to specifically perform their obligations and consummate the closing in accordance with the terms of the merger agreement, which is, this is the key one that I wanted to talk about. The last one was granting injunctive relief as necessary to enforce it. What they're seeking, and all of the legal commentary I've seen has been, oh, Twitter has got the better of these legal arguments because, you know, he being Musk, can't just fabricate a bot, you know, the spam bots or the bots as a pretext to get out of this. In fact, the first paragraph, I think, Gary, do you have that also? They pretty much summarizes Twitter's little kind of case. Even though they filed 264 pages, they distilled it down into a paragraph on the first page, which basically kind of takes a shot at him and says, just because he's petulant or words to that effect doesn't mean that he can not abide. Here you go. He entered into a binding merger agreement, having mounted a public spectacle to put Twitter in play, and then proposed and signed a seller-friendly merger agreement. He apparently believes that he, unlike every other party subject to Delaware contract law, is free to change his mind, trash the company, disrupt its operations, destroy stockholder value, and walk away. And then blah, blah, blah. Interesting, though, if you look at the prayer of what Twitter's asking for, they're asking for a judge to order him to consummate the transaction, which leads me to believe, what's a judge going to say? You must pay $44 billion, even though there's a $1 billion breakup fee. But we're asking you, Judge, to order him to complete this purchase, which would be, I can't think of any comparable transaction where a judge has ordered somebody to spend $44 billion on a transaction that's got a breakup fee in it. So for all of the legal commentators who are saying Twitter's got the better of this, maybe if ultimately Twitter, the company, trying to get a portion or all of the $1 billion, that I understand. But that isn't what the relief says. Their prayer for relief, which is what they're asking the court to do, does not say hand over the $1 billion on the breakup fee. It says make him go through with this transaction.
Well, I may not have the numbers right, but they're basically saying he agreed to give us $44 billion for a company that's worth $25 billion or something substantially less than $44 billion. It makes sense to me that they'd like their inflated price.
They'd like the delta.
Right. So now you would, and I don't know what it's really valued at now, but it's substantially less than $44 billion. So then you'd say there was a breakup fee that was baked in, and I don't know, it's sort of like a prenup or something. It's like, hey, we got this, and that's why we did it. And then if I were Twitter, I would argue that the breakup billion, that's there in case he can't get financing or the deal falls apart for a myriad of reasons, not for him to trash our company and lower our stock price.
Well, that's interesting because they did not, as I understand it, mind you, we're just reading the lawsuit. We're waiting for an answer, meaning the retort from Musk's companies. And as I had mentioned to Gary, I think on one of the Beyonds, it's interesting who they select as lawyers, because who each of these people select as lawyers, I think, telegraphs whether they think they're going to be in a trial fight or whether they're just trying to get a merger or acquisition done. But there was no, as I understand it, financing contingency. So, for instance, when you buy a house and you tell, and you've got the check, the form, and the Department of Real Estate form, and it's got a box for within 17 days, you have to either, you know, get your financing lined up, get a pre-approval or a post-approval or post-approval, and then withdraw it. My understanding, if you believe what's been alleged here in this document, is that there was no financing contingency, that in addition to that, he being Musk, had levered his, not only sold, but also took a loan and levered it against the Tesla stock. So now what happened also this morning, which was interesting, is that one of the more notorious short sellers, which is somebody who bets that a stock's going to go down, is buying Twitter, because that person, rather than think that Twitter is going to go down, the stock price, the value, the market cap of the company, they're betting that Twitter is going to prevail in some way and that the stock price is going to go up and that his Tesla value is going, the market cap of Tesla is going to go down. So there's all kinds of considerations here as to whether or not the what the ultimate end game is on everybody. And there is, to some degree, a multidimensional chess game going on.
You don't see any universe where a judge demands that he buy this company for $44 billion, though, right?
No. To me, that just seems ludicrous on its face. He could. What is judge going to do? Judge going to say, okay, specific performance. That's what they're asking for. That was the legal term. I'm ordering you to go through with that, with the transaction. Now, normally what you do with specific performance, I did one of these. I tried one of these a couple of years ago in Van Nuys. There was a seller of a building and I represented the buyer. The seller, during the course of the escrow, the building's value, it became apparent he had sold too cheap, in his opinion, and didn't want to go through with it. Now, the judge there ordered, we asked for specific performance, the judge ordered the specific performance. You must sell. That is something that's generally, you can imagine, that would be more enforceable. But you must buy, to me, is a real problem, because unless you've got all of the money sitting in escrow or sequestered somewhere in an attorney-client trust account in a non-escrow jurisdiction, how is the judge going to enforce it? What you, Elon says, I'm not going to sign the paperwork. What are you going to do, find him in contempt because he's not going to come up with $44 billion? Attach his Tesla stock and say, okay, you've got $44 billion worth of Tesla. I'm going to start financially engineering the Tesla stock and use that and trade it for Twitter. Doesn't seem to me to make sense. Is there a world where, and this is why I think the lawyers are interesting, could there be a solution here, because they've got law firms on each side, besides litigation counsel, they've got law firms on each side that do mergers and acquisitions. Is there a world where Tesla does some kind of stock swap or some kind of warrants or some kind of options or a complicated or at least a multi-layered deal where they acquire Twitter? I could see a world where that might happen.
We're recording and releasing this Wednesday, July 13th, and the current market cap of Twitter is $28.08 billion.
Yeah, so quite a bit.
He's upside down.
Yeah, quite a bit. All right, Mark, hit your Audible spot, and we'll carry on.
I will. Audible. With my schedule, hard, you know, I've been nicknamed Hard Out, which I think it'd be worse. You could be nicknamed Soft Guy. with my schedule, I don't have time to do the things I want, especially reading. That's why I love Audible. Incredible selection of audiobooks in every genre, bestsellers, new releases, celebrity memoirs, mysteries, thrillers, motivation, wellness, business, and more. By the way, is everything reminds you of something? Is that on?
Just finished the audiobook, but it'll end up there as soon as we get it shipped out.
Discover exclusive Audible originals from top celebrities, that would be you, renowned experts, that would also be you, and exciting new voices in audio. You're exciting, but you're not new. Audible members can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the bestsellers and new releases. This app is great. We've had mistrial on it with Awesome Dawson, and I have I have personally used it for years and love it and endorse it. Right, Gary?
Let Audible help you discover new ways to laugh, be inspired, and be entertained. New members can try it for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/RD or text RD to 500-500. That's audible.com/RD or text RD to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. audible.com/RD.
What else is going on in the world, Mark?
You know, there's the January 6th hearings are interesting to me. The, you know, Pat Cipollone, who was the White House counsel, they played some of the depositions of that. They're apparently they've got a surprise witness. They played, which is always good for TV. They played a guy who, what was he, Gary, an Oath Keeper or something that who testified. Tatted up as that one Capitol police officer who testified. And the interesting thing against this backdrop, and I know I've mentioned this before, but most of my clique or friends are lifelong Dems like myself. And if you were to slip into my texts about what the Dems are doing to themselves, it would be appalled. This idea that we're going to change the narrative to January 6th and think that somehow that's going to save the Democrats in November, to me, has been astonishing. And the talk about indicting Trump for January 6th with somebody like Merrick Garland, who's at the Department of Justice, is equally astonishing to me. It just harkens back. You're old enough to remember Carville when he used to say to Clinton, it's the economy, stupid. Keep it simple, stupid. And it's all about the economy. And I just think that there is a massive, the cheerleading and the kind of the idea that somehow what is coming out in the hearings, the Department of Justice can just take that and file while ignoring the Oliver North Iran-Contra hearing precedent that was set, where there was all kinds of problems when you have these public hearings at the same time. It's astonishing me. And then you combine it with Steve Bannon, who had done a motion to continue his trial, and that's set for next week. And there's been a number of rulings in that case, including the denial of the continuance, that I think are interesting as well. And Bannon has claimed executive privilege. And as we talked about, Adam, I said that executive privilege, which has been, you know, kind of poo-pooed or bandied about as kind of contrived, one of the motions that they ran in Bannon's case was, we want to see the declination memo, meaning why Department of Justice did not file on Mark Meadows. Because if Mark Meadows asserted executive privilege and they said that was okay, why is it that when Bannon asserts executive privilege, that is not okay? And for those who say, well, he wasn't in the administration at the time, well, remember, he was consulting. The president doesn't have to bring, for executive privilege, you don't have to bring everybody in to under the tent, so to speak, to assert privilege. By the way, some of the smartest people you may know, you would want a president to consult with the best and the brightest in most fields. And if they happen to not be in government at the time, why is that? What that means, we don't want you to consult with those people. We don't want you to talk with them and get their input. And I know that I will be pilloried in, you know, kind of my universe for this, but it just is shocking to me in some degrees, and I know I say this all the time, how much the law enforcement cheerleading has moved to the Democratic side of the aisle, and kind of the presumption of innocence and the idea of at least understanding what the defenses are has moved to the other side of the aisle. I don't know if that piques your interest or not.
Well, there's a couple of things, and you're right. The people that are very much concerned about people being incarcerated for nonviolent crimes or substance abuse crimes or consensual crimes or overcrowded prisons. There's quite a few guys that are still in prison awaiting trial from you know, a year and 8 months ago. A lot of them are probably going to end up with violations that have less time than the time they've actually been incarcerated waiting to go to trial. It seems, you know, and look, if you got these guys on, you know, if you found the guy who was planting the bomb over at the DNC headquarters or something, so be it. But there's a lot of guys who aren't being charged with that much that are still being held, not unable to bail out. And that in and of itself is not exactly much to build a dream on when it comes to this country. And so basically, you already have this thing where they're going, look, when you're talking about folks that we agree with, some guy that may have burnt down a liquor store in a Black Lives Matter march, that guy needs to come out of jail. You can't sit there. He needs his due process. But if there's an oath keeper who we disagree with and he was there on the 6th, then that guy can rot. He can rot in prison until we're ready to talk to him.
There's also a little bit, and this should concern anybody, because God forbid your side of the aisle isn't in charge of the prosecutor's office next time around and you're in the target bone. But there's a little bit of, as long as you kind of have this come to Jesus moment where you repudiate what you believed before, then you're okay. Then you can do it. And so if you've been converted, if you've had kind of a brainwash in the literal sense, that then that's okay. That gives you, right. It's always bugged me.
That me too. Yeah. We'll put the oath keeper up on the stand and he'll talk about how Trump brainwashed him and he didn't know what he was doing and Trump's evil. And once you become a useful idiot for them, and it's kind of Orwellian, and it's also smacks of all the governments that you hate, where now the person is hailing whoever their captor is. It's really slippery slope shit for a society to go, oh, now this guy agrees with us. See, let's see what he thinks. Oh, he was a big Trump fan, but now he's not anymore. Yeah, he'd like to get the fuck out of the hole that you're keeping him in. So he is saying whatever he has to say.
I'm old enough again to remember reading the Gulag Archipelago by Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who was talking about some of the techniques that were used in the old Soviet Union. You're old enough to remember when you studied Mao Zedong and what happened in communist China and their, you know, totalitarian regimes. And I know I can already hear what the response is. Well, you're talking about totalitarian regimes. Trump is the authoritarian, blah, blah, blah. We came this close to losing our democracy. I mean, I hear all of that. What I'm telling you is you can pick and choose statements and you don't have to buy in to a whole ideological spectrum of philosophy and groupthink in order to critically examine what is happening around you.
I think the problem is they're going to keep parading people up. I think Bannon said he wanted his hearing to be public. I don't think they want that. The problem with the whole thing for me is twofold. One is Trump said peacefully and patriotically march to the Capitol. That he said into a loudspeaker, and that's recorded. And that's an issue when you're saying he incited this riot. Because if you were Trump's attorney, you would keep playing that tape over and over again. Now, just because CNN says Trump told people to march to the Capitol and leaves out the peaceful part, that doesn't mean he didn't say it. That doesn't mean it's not on tape. And that doesn't mean if Mark Geragos was his attorney, he wouldn't press play on that and expose people.
And by the
to
way,
it.
We've had approximately, I don't know how many days, Gary, since the young lady testified that she heard on either second or third level of hearsay that he tried to reach and grab the steering wheel and the beast to drive the car up. And then it was immediately reported by the Secret Service that they pushed back on that story. Well, why didn't we have the Secret Service testify there to corroborate that? Instead, we've got Cipollone, who's now engaged in the kind of recovered memory syndrome, testifying that, well, you know, I was that the Overstock guy was there. Well, of course you were appalled.
This is the problem. The problem is, if you say we've assembled this group so that we can get to the truth about January 6th, and then you go, fine, why don't you talk to the Secret Service agents that were actually in the car at the time? And they go, nah, we don't have time for that. And then you go, fine, why don't you talk to Nancy Pelosi and see why she didn't have the National Guard there? No, we don't have time for that. Oh, why don't you talk to Marion Bowser, the mayor, and ask her why she denied the National Guard 2 days before? No, we don't have time for that. Why don't you talk to the guys who were in the office who, when Trump said, you're going to need the National Guard here, this shit could get out of hand. Why don't you just go ahead and talk to those guys and swear them in? No, we don't have time for that. Okay, so wait a minute. You just want to get to the bottom? You want to get to the bottom of the whole thing?
What about just cross-examination? I mean, right. I love a good direct exam when I'm trying to prove my case. I'd love to try cases where I can just put on witnesses and there's no cross. I mean, that's it's a new phenomenon. Right. I don't understand that. When did that happen in America?
It makes me wonder how hard you're trying to just get to the bottom of and just get to the truth. All right, let me tell you about American Hartford Gold. That's something you should get interested in. Inflation at a 40-year high. Yeah, 9.1, I think we're at as we tape this.
By the way, if you don't think that's going to drive voters, then you obviously have not lived through a couple of election cycles.
Well, it should drive you guys to American Hartford Gold, because guys like J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon predict a recession is coming, and they're using terms like economic hurricane. Protect your future. Do what I did. American Hartford Gold. They'll help protect your savings, retirement, and you can diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver. Quick phone call, and you can get silver or gold delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. Highest rated firm in the country, A+ rating from the BBB, and thousands of satisfied customers. Call them right now, and you can get up to $1,500 worth of free silver on your first order, right, Gary?
Call 866-828-8992. That's 866-828-8992. Or text DOUBT to 998899. Again, that's 866-828-8992. Or text DOUBT to 998899.
Yeah, I mean,
so I wanted you to finish that for a second. Because I'm, like I said, I know that I'll be viewed myself as a conspiracy theorist, but I just ask any lawyer who is bloviating about this to just ask the simple question, why are we afraid to have cross-examination? I'd like to know. I mean, I've been doing this for almost 40 years. I don't trust just a direct exam. I've been in a courtroom too many times. I've been in hearings too many times where a story sounds fantastic until you have a chat. And I've been on both sides of that. I've had a client tell a story that sounded great. And by the way, the opposing counsel dismantled that story. I've also been in the bull, as opposed to where I'm goring the witness. So before you just buy hook, line, and sinker, remember, we have an adversarial system in America. If you're somebody who keeps talking about democracy and the Constitution, you can't just ignore the Sixth Amendment.
All right. What else, Mark or Gary?
You know, there's another story that's fascinating, Gary. Murdaugh, right? You want to give us an update on this?
Yeah. So, Adam, I'm not sure if you had had heard or not, but it came out that he was involved in drug trafficking, as we had posited many, you know, months back.
The lawyer
whose son and wife were found murdered at one of their hunting estates. And is the latest news this week is that he's going to be charged with murder.
You know, drugs, all roads lead to drugs. Like if you ever just have an acquaintance or something and you say, oh, we're friends, friend's a widow, her husband was murdered. And you go, oh, my God, what happened? And I go, drugs. You know, it's always the murdering is with the drugs. It's just how it works.
I'm sitting in the office here. We're two blocks away from where that woman, the Olympian, was hit with the pipe by one of the inhabitants of the zombie apocalypse that is downtown Los Angeles. And some guy, I wish I had his name, I'd give him a shout out, ended up tackling him and holding him, the perp, until the victim in this case recognized almost immediately, as anybody who walks around downtown can, that this guy was in the throes of mental distress. But it's also this kind of endless cycle of which came first, chicken or the egg. Was it the mental illness? Was it the fentanyl? Was it, you know, the people say, well, the fentanyl brings you down. Well, when you come off, it doesn't bring you down. And these hallucinatory episodes that are going on. Just when I drove into the parking lot this morning, the same thing in the parking lot. You've got when I say zombie apocalypse, you have no idea. There are people every single day shooting up either on the front step or in the back alley here. And at a certain point, LA is going to have to make a choice because I have always taken the position that criminalizing drug offenses is not smart. But at the same time, you don't just let people who are under the influence run wild. There has to be some kind of intervention. And otherwise, you get what we've got down here.
Well, just breaking yesterday, I think it was. I think Starbucks is shutting a bunch of locations and 7-Eleven is shutting a bunch of locations. Could you imagine? I mean, I've felt this way, and I'm not even very empathetic. I'm as a human being. It's a fault. I get it. But could you imagine? You ever pass by these businesses that have a storefront? You know, Mark at least has a lobby and an elevator. I got a fence and a gate. I see these storefronts and, you know, what a Starbucks would turn into with homeless people going in and out, shooting up in the bathroom, flopping down at a table. You're having it's a fucking shit show. Imagine running that business. Now, it could be a Starbucks. It could be a flower shop, but could sell pottery. But the point is, like, could you imagine just having a congregation of crazy homeless people wanting to use the bathroom, walking in and out? Starbucks, 7-Eleven, we've seen it with the Rite Aid and the CVSs and certain neighborhoods. They're packing it in. It's a business decision. I do like how the progressive politicians who are for community policing and not for arresting anyone then get angry at the Rite Aid for leaving. They go, come on, suck it up. It's like
you're supposed to lose money and take it up the ass.
Right. No, we're leaving. If you don't want to govern, we're going to leave. Look, let's put it to you this way. What if you open a franchise in a city, and let's just say that city at a certain point went, you know what? We're not going to do water and power or sewage. We're not, you know, when you flush the toilet, it's not going anywhere. And when you turn the spigot, nothing's coming out. And when you plug in the toaster to make your breakfast sandwiches over there at Starbucks, there's going to be no electricity coursing through it. Well, then wouldn't the business at a certain point going, well, then if you're not going to keep up your end of the shit, because I pay a ton in taxes and business licenses and all the protocols and all the regulation, If you're not going to hold up your end of the bargain, then I'm going to pack up and leave. Now, you go, well, this is an extreme example. Sanitation, water and power, you know, sewage, all that kind of. It is, but it's really just an offshoot. If you're going to have crazy fentanyl-laced freak zombie freaks wandering the streets in front of my business and walking in and out and terrorizing my employees and my patrons, then just like any other thing that the city is not keeping up with, I'm going to have to leave. It's going to take a little longer than it would be if you just stop creating power, but we're eventually going to get there because you're not holding up your end of the bargain.
And it's exactly right. I've got a comment on that. But first, cerebral psychiatrist visits, very appropriate, can cost up to $500 per session. And traditional therapy can be over $100. That can add up to thousands of dollars a year. Cerebral, which is an online mental health service, offers prescription medication, counseling, therapy for anxiety, depression, ADHD, insomnia, and more. One of the few services that provides prescription medication online through a licensed provider and ships meds straight to your door. Unlimited messaging with your care team. And mind you, when you're in the throes of mental distress, unlimited messaging can help. Connect with your counselor and therapist on your own schedule through your laptop or Cerebral's mobile app. Simone Biles is their chief impact officer. She's a huge and effective advocate for reducing stigma around getting treatment. Right, Gary?
That's right. Listeners of this program can receive 65% off your first month of medication management and care counseling at GetCerebral.com/doubt. Go to GetCerebral.com/doubt for 65% off your first month. That's just a total of $30 to get started. Join Cerebral today on their mission to make quality mental health care accessible and affordable for all.
So you were going to say.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll give another example. They, at some point, it had gotten so bad on the Wilshire off-ramp. And when I say so bad, you couldn't even drive your car on the Wilshire off-ramp to make the left on Wilshire. So because the street had been completely taken over by the unhoused. And literally you could not drive through it. So it was cleared off on one side. It is now, the encampment is now against the other side. And people in various stages of undress, clearly under the influence, starting now to take this property owner up here, who just spent a fortune on the corner there right by the off-ramp. You know, he repainted it, he restuccoed the whole bit. And I feel so sorry for this guy because they have just now surrounded his building and he's got a giant for lease sign that I'm sure is going to be torn down and used as tent material. And do you think that anybody has paused his property taxes after he just dumped probably $500,000 into rehabbing this building downtown? And I'll never get over the Korean Airlines guy who dumped $1.5 billion of cash, not even financed, $1.5 billion to build this skyscraper here and can't even keep the doors open for fear of the place getting, his people getting assaulted. It's just astonishing what has happened here. It is, and in the span of 5 years, you can almost just chart it in 5 years.
It's also, you know, it's emblematic and it's also indicative and it's also in a way it's a metaphor. Like, what is there a bigger metaphor or indicator, a greater indicator of you losing control of your city than homeless people flopped everywhere? Like, if you went to Europe and you're going from little town to little town and one little town you went to just had homeless junkies flopped out everywhere, you'd say this one town, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. They can't, you know, it's one, you know, the power grid, that's an indicator. The schools, fine. You know, large item pickup. Okay, there's something. But Throngs of strung out humanity flopped everywhere. Is there a greater indicator that you do not know how to run a city and you've lost control?
And our fearless, I don't even know what her title is, Barbara Farrar, is now saying that if the statistics reach another boiling point within the next 2 weeks, guess what we're getting?
Indoor mask. Yeah, well, I'm not doing it. I am not fucking doing it. I will encourage everyone I know not to do it. If you go along with it, you are aiding and abetting a crazed witch who's power hungry. And the only way to make it stop is to stop listening. That's it. There's no other way. We're living under emergency orders. She's an unelected kook, and we need to step up. And possibly we will, although I don't know. I've lost a lot of faith in humanity.
I'll tell you another thing. I tweeted about it this week because it was astonishing to me. The Board of Supervisors has now, I think it was yesterday, I haven't looked to see whether they did it, they were actually going to put on the ballot. Now, mind you, for those who aren't in the weeds in Los Angeles County has five supervisors, all female for the first time right now. And they have had this particular composition, not so much, but various incarnations have had a very fractious relationship with the sheriff. Now, the sheriff in this county also is elected countywide. The Board of Supervisors, the five of them, have each of their fiefdoms. And so they've now put on or are contemplating putting on the ballot their ability, the Board of Supervisors, to fire the elected sheriff for cause if they get three votes. Now, I find this ironic as we're doing January 6th hearings, because you want to talk about a threat to democracy. You're going to have five people who are not elected countywide. They are elected in their five, for lack of a better term, boroughs in Los Angeles. But if you get three of them together, they're going to remove a sheriff who is elected countywide. Now, if that isn't a problem for democracy, then you're not being honest.
And by the way, this is three or five crazed yentas who've gotten us into this in the first place. And the sheriff has basically done what they hate, which is stood up to them. They're basically saying, we are going to take Los Angeles and we're going to drive it into the ocean. And he's saying, not on my watch. And now they want to get rid of him. It's perfect.
Talk to anybody at Venice. The LAPD had basically waved the white surrender flag down at Venice Beach. And the sheriff said, it's still within the county, not here, and went down there. And by the way, guess what's happened? People are coming back. You see families there. It's not solved by any means, but it's mind-boggling to me.
All right, let me hit ultimate ears here. We use tech every day. We rely on devices, but we forget about sometimes the hardware, like the ears and the earbuds. No two are exactly the same. Everyone's ears are a little bit different. So the earbuds probably cause discomfort, maybe even pain. UE Fits, true wireless, custom fit earbuds from Ultimate Ears. Premium sound, all day comfort. The molding experience is revolutionary. Back in the day when I did Loveline, you get an IFB, a tech has to mold it. It has to go like back to the shop. They have to pour plaster Paris in your ear. This is a guaranteed fit, and it just takes 60 seconds, 8 hours of continuous playback on a single charge, up to 20 hours with the charging case. Try them. If you don't love them as much as we do, they got a 30-day money-back guarantee, plus free shipping and free returns. 1 year warranty, right, Gary?
That's right. Use promo code DOUBT at UE.com/fits to get your pair of UE fits. That's UE.com/fits, promo code DOUBT.
So is there going to be lawsuits by the young woman, the young Olympian who was bashed over the head with a piece of pipe? you know, where
Kim Glass,
where these guys, they shouldn't be on the street. A Tin Horn Flats, the guy who owns the building, who's has to, again, he can't miss a tax payment on his property, but the city won't remove the throngs of humanity in front of the building, making it unusable or certainly lowering its value. Could you imagine selling your house, Mark, and a group of gypsy homeless people just flopped out on the curb as people were coming up and down the driveway to look at it? I mean, how much lower the value of your property would be?
I guess the one counterbalance to having a building in downtown LA is living in La Cañada, where you can't even keep a property on the market for longer than a day without having 10 offers, full price, all cash, because people are fleeing. I mean, to the suburbs. What is the matter with that? Just please explain that. That shows you something. People, whether it's an out source of the population out of the state or out of the urban centers, what in the heck, what is it going to take?
Well, maybe Caruso will come in as mayor and save the day. I don't know what he's going to be able to get done with the city council, or Gavin Newsom fighting him. They're going to fight him every step of the way for everything he wants to do, because he's going to want to do something that's different than what they're doing now, which is making things worse. So
yeah, it's like they have doubled and tripled down on policies that not only don't work, but exacerbate what the problem is. And it's mind-boggling to me.
Well,
I mean, I'll talk about it next week. I was going to talk about Donay in that case, which just boils me. You've got somebody who's obviously in the throes of psychiatric illness, and he basically, it's just you're told that there's nothing we can do, and then, you know, he stabbed somebody to death, and you know, the neighbors tried to do everything they could. I mean,
your case where the crazy guy's wandering the streets and the homeowner went back in the house and the guy was waiting inside the house. Yeah.
And then went after I told you the story, I got a call from one of the people down the street who said, yeah, it's worse than you can even imagine. And there's no engagement. There's no engagement whatsoever. In fact, it's the opposite. They kind of it's blissful ignorance by the city councilman for that district, by the local police, LAPD there. It's just, who cares? You have to wonder at a certain point, then what are you paying for? It goes back to your point.
Well, last but not least, there's Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, and you work hard, right? Well, I'll tell you what's easy. Bundling. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your automotive policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do around the house already. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save and how easy it is to get your bundle working when you go with Geico. All right, this Friday, Saturday, I'll be in Springfield, Missouri, Blue Room Comedy Club, doing 4 shows over the weekend, 2 live pods, 2 stand-up shows as well. And Kyle Dunnigan's going to join us on Saturday. And you go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows. Truth Yeller up on Daily Wire. Enjoy those specials. And everything reminds me of something. My new book is coming out any day now, so go ahead and pre-order it. It just helps. Mark, what do you got?
If you're up in the Hamptons this weekend, stop by the Naya and the Capri Hotel. If you want to do a day party at the pool, stop by there. Go down to V if you want to kind of get an outdoor sauna in Palm Springs, and stop by Gigi's, or come downtown, bring your pipes and your bats, and visit Tenney or Engine Company 28.
So until next time, Adam Kroll for Mark Garriga saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode.
This is Corolla Digital.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.
On September 3rd, 1990, Betty Jones and Catherine Krigler were raped and murdered in an unsolved case known as the Labor Day Murders.
You sure you really want to hear?
I do.
This is as bad as it gets.
There was so much blood that it soaked through the carpet.
I never understood how scary it was, that sense of being trapped.
Now more than ever, I want to help solve the murder of my beloved grandmother, Mama Betty. Listen to Knock Knock now on Podcast One, or wherever you listen to podcasts.